Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to talk to you about being transformed. I'm doing a series called A Rush of Grace. And I know that by God's grace, your mind, your thoughts can be transformed. Let me share with you Mark chapter 1. This is verse 15. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. And he said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' first sermon, right after he was tempted in the desert, right after he went through all those trials, after he spent 40 days and 40 nights praying and getting in touch with God. And in his first sermon, he talked about the word metanoia. And we translate it repent. But the word metanoia has a deeper meaning. It means to be changed in your mind. Meta, another, noia, mind. So in other words, Jesus' first sermon, when he began his ministry, he wanted to minister to people's minds. And I found that in my life and in my ministry that people everywhere I go are struggling with their minds. A lot of people can't sleep because they're stressed. They're worried about the future. They're thinking about what's going to happen to them. They're anxious. They're worried. They're fearful. Oh, I remember how Jesus taught about, he said, consider the lilies of the field and look at the birds of the air and, you know, your heavenly Father feeds them. And he talked about trusting in God and not being all wrought out of shape and bent out of shape. And taking it one day at a time. So Jesus' mind was very blessed, and he allowed that flow of grace to give him a sound mind. And he met people everywhere that he went in his travels, people that were struggling with their mind. I remember one time the Gadarene demoniac, remember he went across the Sea of Galilee, comes over to the Gadarene territory, and he meets this man who was out of his mind. And after Jesus touched him and spoke to him, he was clothed in his right mind. And that's my hope for this program, that you would be clothed in your right mind. I meet people everywhere that can't get to sleep, as I said. They have insomnia. I'm praying that this program will put you to sleep. I'm praying that this program will help you to sleep. I'm praying that this program will give you peace. You can be transformed in your mind by a rush of grace. And I'm praying that God's grace will help you. So let's get into this more deeply. The most important person that you're ever going to listen to is yourself. This is what psychologists call self-talk. And all the time, from the moment we get up in the morning till the time that we go to bed at night, and even at night when we dream, we're talking to ourselves. We're saying all kinds of different things. And it's very important that you listen to what you're saying, because a lot of the self-talk that we give ourselves is negative. They say things like, I'm ugly, or I'm never going to be good enough, or I can't do it, or others are better than I. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the right contacts. All those impossibility thoughts, all those negative thoughts. And they can take root in us and become strongholds. And really, we need grace. We need that rush of grace to break the strongholds of fear, of worry, of stress, of anxiety, of self-hate. And God's grace, the one who lives in you is greater than the one who lives in the world. That's right from the Bible. So God's grace is greater than any stronghold. And I love what it says in the Bible, that you can take any thought captive to Christ, and through Christ, you can be transformed in your mind, through Jesus and his help. I'll talk more about that specifically, but I want to lay the groundwork here. There was a survey that was taken among college students, And they were asked, these are college students, young people, what's your deepest, most difficult personal problem? 75% said that they lack confidence. Wow. That's young people lacking confidence. It's the belief in their self, their ability to succeed. Inferiority is epidemic. Low self-image, self-hate, self-rejection. I believe that one of the reasons why people overeat, they get into addictions of every sort, drugs and drinking and sex and eating, as I said, is because they have rejected themselves. And what they do is they sabotage their lives even more by the drugging and the drinking and the overeating. And somebody that has a sound mind is going to love themselves in a healthy way. Remember what Jesus taught, of course, love your neighbor as yourself. And you can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. So I'm going to suggest that most people are struggling with low self-image. And there's a variety of reasons for that. It can be because of what your parents told you. For example, you know, you're never going to amount to anything, or you're never going to be as smart as your sister, or you're really not that charismatic or good looking. Or it could be through a traumatic event. I remember I read a book and the author said that he grew up very skinny. And the kids teased him about that in school, and it devastated his self-image. And he didn't think much about himself because of the bullying and the teasing that went on. So people can come against you, and even significant others like your parents can do it. And it can be traumatic, and it can really hurt. I remember talking about skinny. That's the way I grew up. And I had a very traumatic event going to high school because now I'm meeting all these people, the seniors, the juniors, and I'm just a freshman, and I'm very small, and I'm in English class as a freshman, and we're going up and down the rows just reading. And I know how to read. I've always read well. I know my language very well. They came to me, and I started reading. I forget exactly what it was. I think it was poetry. And as I was reading, all of a sudden the negative thoughts started. Like, you know, I wonder what the football player next to me is thinking of me, or I wonder what the cheerleader is thinking of me. And I'm reading, but I'm thinking about everybody else, you know, what kind of an impression I'm making on other people. And I'm thinking about myself in a not so good way because, again, I was kind of small and skinny. And as I'm reading, and I'll never forget this, my heart started beating really fast. And soon, I couldn't breathe. I had to stop reading. I was having, everybody looked around at me, and for the first time in my life, I was having a panic attack. I cannot tell you how that devastated me and what it did to my psyche. My friend right behind me started reading and we went on and I got out of that situation, but a stronghold developed. Every time, not speak in public, just read. Every time I would go to read, I would start, it would be fine, and then the same thing would happen. My heart would start beating, and I'd get out of breath and I wouldn't be able to continue. I'd have a panic attack. So then I started avoiding any situation that had any kind of a situation where I had to read in public. Never mind speak in public. I couldn't do that. No way. Because I started thinking about myself. I'm no good. I can't do it. Everybody else is bigger than I, better than I. And I developed a negative self-image just from that traumatic event. What I'm trying to explain to you is that traumatic events or people that talk to you in a negative way or bully you can cause you to have these self-deprecating thoughts that can become a stronghold. But thanks be to God that Jesus comes to free us and to bring new life. I remember now, I get into college, and I've still got this going on, and avoided a lot of the situations where I had to speak in public and read in public, and I have this conversion. I mean, when I talk about a conversion, I came to Christ, touches me with the Holy Spirit, I start being transformed, I start being changed, I start journeying with Christ. But what happens is, Jesus will never leave you with strongholds. He will always help you to face your strongholds. You can't run your whole life from the problems that you have and you may have developed in your childhood. So I sense that little old me has a call to become a priest. And I know what that means. That means preaching. And I remember thanking God. I said, I really sense that you're calling me to proclaim the good news. You've touched my life, and I thank you so much. We just have one small problem. I'm scared stiff. I wasn't just scared. I was petrified, terrified, because, again, I have panic attacks. I can't do it. You notice what I just said? I can't do it. That was kind of my mantra growing up, because, again, I had these traumatic events and had a low self-image, and I had a good upbringing, good parents, good sisters, great education. So if I was dealing with this, I'm thinking other people must be dealing with it too. Well, to make a long story short, as you can see, I'm now a priest and I'm preaching everywhere I go, and now I'm even on television and radio doing it. So something happened in between. And I have to tell you that I still do get afraid, but I've come to realize something, that because God is with me, I can do it. And I want that to be your mantra. My mantra used to be, I can't do it, but now it's, I can do it, because I've realized that God is with me. Remember Moses? Moses, of course, was chosen by God to lead the people out of slavery into the promised land. Moses, of course, you have to know this, he was a shepherd boy and out in the desert for all these years, and God appears to him. But Moses had a stuttering problem. He was not a good speaker. So God comes to him. Isn't that interesting? Did you ever read that scripture where it says that God chooses on purpose the weak and the lowly, the shame the strong? So if you're feeling weak and inadequate and you feel like you can't do it, you're probably the one that God is going to call. Maybe not to priesthood or to lead the people out of slavery, but God will call you to face your fears, to face Pharaoh, the pharaohs of your life. I don't know what that is, but I pray that God will speak to you about it. So Moses went before Pharaoh, even though he couldn't speak very well, and he did it because God was with him. How did David conquer Goliath in his life? Because God was with him. How did any of the apostles turn the world upside down? Because God was with them, and that is so important. I think that that's the number one truth I want to convey in this program, that you can face your pharaohs, your Goliaths, your fears, your anxiety, your stress, your mountains, because, and here's the formula, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. And this is how I do it. You just simply get to know God in your life. You realize that God is bigger than any fear, any Pharaoh, any Goliath. And then you don't run. It's really important, especially if you're dealing with panic, if you're dealing with fear, you don't run. You must face your fear. And that's hard. It's difficult because it means suffering. Everything in you wants to run. But we don't serve a God who runs. We serve a God who stands firm. And so it's very important that you realize that God is with you. In fact, I oftentimes say that to myself all the time. I'll say, God is with me. God is helping me. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. If God is for me, who can be against? You know, it's really important that you don't just realize that God's with you, but that you speak it. I talked about faith in one of my programs, and one of the ways that you release faith, that you exercise your faith, is simply by speaking. And that's really important, because thoughts lead to words, but get this, words lead to thoughts. So you can actually change your thinking by the way you speak. And you have to take responsibility for the way that you speak. And if you speak positively, it can change a negative mindset into a positive mindset. So I come from Massachusetts. You know, that's where I was born and brought up. I remember we used to go to the bus stop, and we had some frigid winters in New England. And we'd be standing there at the bus stop, you know, all the people, and there'd be about 5 or 10 of us. And we'd talk to each other. It'd be in the morning, it'd be like 10 below, and you could see your breath coming right out of your mouth. And it reminds me that when I speak, there's an efficacy, there's a reality happening, coming forth from your mouth. There's power in words, is what I'm trying to say. And that's how I make my living, through words, through putting words together that I believe can bring faith and bring transformation in people. Because the Word of God is powerful and efficacious. So what I'm trying to say is that Watch your language. Don't be saying things like, I can't do it, or I'm afraid, or I'm no good, or sometimes, you know, you wake up in the morning and you feel depressed, and don't say I'm depressed or it's going to be a bad day. Change your thoughts by changing your speaking. God is with me. I can do it. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to be successful. I still get scared. I'll have TV programs to produce. I'll have 1,000 people sitting out there in a church waiting to hear me speak. And I'll be back there going, thinking about the negative thoughts, and I'll speak out of my mouth. I'm more than a conqueror. God is for me. Who can be against? I can do all things through Christ. God is with me. And as I speak that, my thoughts begin to change, and I'm able to face my fears. And you can do the same thing too. Same with stress, same with worry, same with anxiety, same with insomnia. For example, with insomnia, let me just say this. Sometimes I'll be lying awake at night, and of course, when you're lying awake, you're thinking. That's what's happening. When people aren't able to sleep, they're thinking. And I'll be thinking about some of the hard things in life, like people I don't get along with, or I'm struggling with, or the stresses, or the hard things that are going on. And you can get caught up in that. It's kind of like a vortex. And the way to break out of it is called replacing your thoughts. And so what will happen is I'll be lying there and I'll be thinking about all these negative things. This can happen early in the morning too. Don't just lie there, get up. And you'll be thinking about these things. Well, here's something to think about. You can change your thoughts by simply speaking these words: peace, tranquility, serenity, calm, shalom. Just those simple words. And then if you start going back to those thoughts, say it again: peace, tranquility, serenity. People tell me all the time, Father Cedric, when you preach, you're very calm and you're very soothing. We love listening to your voice. Well, I wasn't always that way. I used to be really frantic and bent out of shape and anxious, and as I said, panic attacks and fearful. But I've learned. My traumas have brought me triumph and a whole new way of being. And it can be the same way in your life, but it's not just by my efforts. It's by the Holy Spirit, that rush of grace transforming us. And that's what Romans 12:2 tells us. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's why Jesus, in his first homily, his first sermon, was preaching about transformation of the mind, metanoia, because he knew that more than anything, that's what people needed. And he spoke about that all the time, as I was saying. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Take it one day at a time. I love the 12-step program where it says, easy does it. One day at a time. But you have to take responsibility for your own thought life. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'll say that again. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And so he was saying that it's your responsibility to have the renewal of your mind. God will help you. There'll be a rush of grace. You got to believe that. God is with you. But you got to do your part too. But let me talk a little bit more about God being with us, because that's so important. God is all powerful. It's God who created the universe. Take a look at it sometime. The Hubble telescope was sent up in 1990, and they've gotten views through the Hubble telescope of all these different, not just solar systems, galaxies. You know, our Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years across, and light travels at 186,000 miles a second. It takes a long time for something going that fast to get across just one galaxy. Well, the Hubble telescope, they used to think there was a billion galaxies, maybe. Now they've come to determine that there are trillions, plural, of galaxies. They don't even know how many. It's so big. See, our God is amazing. And that's why when I say God is with you, you concentrate on that, you realize that fear is just a little teeny thing. Stress is just a little teeny thing. Worry is just something small. Our God is so much bigger. Abraham was in a tent one time, Abraham in the Old Testament. And God told him, when he called him, he said, get out of your tent and look up at the stars. Broaden your perspective. That's why I like going to the ocean. When I go to the ocean, you know, of course it's beautiful and I look at it, but I love to walk. But when I get outside and I see the ocean, then I realize it gives me a new perspective about what life can be. And the sky's the limit. All things are possible for God. And that's really important to say those things. In the scriptures, the formula that we're given for the renewal of our mind is, I am with you. Remember in the Gospel of Matthew, it begins by saying, you will bear a child and he will be called Emmanuel. That's a word that means God is with us. Halfway through the Gospel of Matthew, we are told, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with you. And then at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, go proclaim the good news and know that I am with you to the ends of the earth. So the beginning of Matthew, the middle of Matthew, and the end of Matthew, we are given this truth, I am with you. And as I said, God is all-powerful, created the universe, 7.6 billion people on the face of the earth, billion people on the face of the earth. So this is the God that we serve. So I have come to realize through prayer and meditation, through receiving the Holy Spirit, through rushes of grace, that because God is with me, I want to achieve my potential. And I'm not just going to stay in a little teeny box, afraid all the time, negative, because there is power in positive thinking, and the power is success and peace and significance when you give God a chance. Because God is all-powerful, and what he does is he rushes into you and works through you to achieve his good will and purpose. So I want you to do what you can do, to do your part. And let's talk about that really quickly. It has to do with, as I said, from psychology. It has to do with, first of all, recognizing your thoughts. When you wake up in the morning, don't just think. Critique your thoughts. Say, what am I thinking? You know, for example, if you're thinking, this is going to be a bad day, I got a lot to do, I'm tired, I feel depressed, stop the tape. I mean, say to yourself, what am I thinking? So critique your thoughts. Most people just think and they don't even reflect about it. And if you do that, then you're just going to go with what just happens to fall in your mind. And be very careful about letting the TV set determine your thoughts, because you turn on the news, oh, I want to see the news. Well, you turn on the news and violence and sex and all the stuff that you don't want to, and then no wonder, you know, your mind is going toward negativity. That can be a traumatic event. So be real careful about that. So first of all, recognize what's going on. And then second of all, you must replace. First of all, recognize. Second of all, replace. And I talked about that, cognitive replacement therapy. I love to play golf. And when I go, there's some courses are designed by a man named Pete Dye. I don't know if Pete is a golfer. If he is, he's a masochist, because what he does is he designs these holes that are visually intimidating, with water left, out of bounds right, railroad ties, very tough, very narrow, and it looks visually intimidating. What he's trying to do is to put negative thoughts in your mind. So if you've ever seen Jack Nicklaus or Jason Day, they'll stand behind the ball right before they're about to hit it. They'll close their eyes. And what they're doing is they're visualizing the ball going right down the middle. They're not looking at the water. They're not looking at the out of bounds. They're not being visually intimidated. Rather, they're seeing themselves succeed. That's something I do when I preach. Right before I go out, I don't see myself failing. When I'm producing a TV series, I don't see myself as a failure. Rather, I see myself succeeding and really getting through to you. The number one thing that people tell me that I think is the greatest compliment is, Father, you talk right to me. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. That's the anointing. That's the rush of grace. I just simply see myself succeeding, and God works. There's power through positive thinking. So you replace thoughts. Instead of saying, I can't do it, you say, I can do it. Instead of saying, I'm all anxious and worried, say, I am full of peace, tranquility, serenity. And then, of course, the last thing I wanted to say is that you receive. You receive power of God. This series is all about receiving a rush of grace. God wants your mind to be transformed. He wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to have success and significance. He wants you to be at peace. He's going to work with you and to help you, but you have to do your part. As I said, recognize, replace, and receive. And I believe that you will become all that you can be. You will realize your potential. You will have an amazing life. Jesus' first sermon had to do with the mind. Not just being positive, but being all that you can be. And I pray that you will experience transformation right where you live. You'll be able to sleep. You'll realize your potential. And you won't just live. You will live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizzania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.